Well, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm still Robert Winters, and over there is...
I am Sweetie Todd, the demon barber of Central Square. I'm Patrick Barrett, and thank you for having me, Robert.
All right. So just one last thing on the incentive zoning was just as a little quick reminder for those who have any interest in this or just want to learn more about it, but I think they're, I don't know what they're about to do, but they're having, what time is the hearing? They're having a public hearing tomorrow?
Yes. So if you want to come down and hear me scream and yell and jump up and down in a room where I'll probably be only by myself, it's at 3 p.m. in the Sullivan Chamber. And I'm sure there's a Zoom link somewhere that you can hop on to hear the fireworks. And I'm going to say everything I just said to you guys moments ago as fast as I can within the 2-minute time.
Right. And the only last thing I'll say about that is that even if you absolutely think that just revenue generation for the purpose of affordable housing is a great thing, and perhaps it's a great thing, but there's a lot more here on the table than just revenue generation. There's also the incentives and disincentives for certain types of things that we may find desirable or undesirable. And I think people really need to think about this a lot more broadly. So, another thing that's a matter which I guess since we last did a program, which was really about a month ago, was they actually had the very first meeting of the newly formed Cambridge Charter Review Committee, right?
Yes, so very exciting that.
It was assembled, sort of in very, very short time scale. 15 people appointed. Kathy, former city councilor, former vice mayor, Kathleen Bourne, was appointed chair. All right. And they had their very first meeting on Tuesday, August 16th. And, and it was primarily just an introductory meeting. I believe there were people from the law department and from the Collins Center who were just basically laying out some of the rules about open meeting laws and things like that. But there was no real discussion about the charter other than some aspirational statements by some of the members who were just saying things, kind of undefined things like want to see more democracy. And, and I'm not quite sure what they mean by that. But
I have a bad feeling about this, said Han Solo to Chewbacca. I feel like this has been born. This is another process that was born out of a bad idea to explore something that, just like, I said moments ago, we didn't have a citywide master plan, and Dennis Carlone and friends, said the sky is falling, stop all development, we don't know what we're doing. And so we launched into Envision, which was a failed process, and we still don't have a master plan. But we do have a master plan because we have lots of different other plans that sort of assemble to become a plan, but more misconception layered upon misconception. With the plan, with this charter review, I think it's coming out of we had 2,000 years of Healy administration rule, and we're just now seeing through the clouds. And do we have access to democracy? Does a city manager system allow for that? And my only answer is, people have access to more democracy today in Cambridge than they're ever going to have in a strong mayor system. And
right. And by the way, we don't really know whether there's a nucleus of people who are really advocating to change to a strong mayor type of system,
really?
Or to some other system. I'm sure there are some who want that. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind, and there are other things I've heard floated, things like-
I bet you a gentleman's dollar, there's someone either on the council or in the city right now who's currently embroidering a mayoral sash.
Perhaps so. But, one of the things, because I think as some people know, I sought to be on that committee myself. But the way I look at this is that regardless, I was going to be pursuing the topic anyway. I'm not in any way opposed to the notion about reviewing the charter.
Yep.
Right. I think actually that's a healthy exercise that maybe we all should be doing all the time anyway, because why not? Right. Rather than blame it, let's think about it. There's a lot of people. One of the things I've said many, many times over the last 30 years is that when people start complaining about the charter or the city manager, or we need to have district councilors, or we need to do this or do that. I always say, you know, you need to make a distinction between what, you know, basically identify what's broken. Is it the system itself that is the problem, or is it the way it is practiced that is the problem?
You just inspired an idea, Robert. And when an amazing thing happened when my children were born, other than the fact that they were born and it was a miracle to see, the Cambridge Library sent my kids a book and a library card, which I was like, how do they know my children exist? And how do they know? I was thinking, like, when you move into a new apartment in Cambridge or you move into a new place, the DPW sends you this, you know, here's when your trash comes, here's where when your recycling is. Maybe we can include a link or a copy to the charter,
for example.
And let's give everyone at least the access to know that there is a charter, you should read it, and, you know, start from there.
Actually, on that very topic, you know, one of the things I figured, well, I'm going to do my homework. I'm kind of an academic oriented guy anyway. So let me actually do a little bit of research, sort of find out about it. Because when you people, I mean, this is God's honest truth. People would say, you know, oh, this Plan E. And what they meant was proportional representation elections. Right. And they didn't even know that there was anything to Plan E other than proportional representation elections. Another fact is that I once years ago asked people within the city, I said, well, when people talk about Plan E, what is it exactly? Well, it's, and you get these sort of vague, squishy answers.
Special time in someone's life. I have a question, sir, Mr. Professor, Professor Winters.
Yes, Mr. Barrett.
Why did we switch to Plan E?
Well, you know, that's actually a great question. And I'll just give you a little bit of background on this here, because, and again, this is sort of part of my own personal orientation about how to think about these things. Is that I said, you know, first off, I'm probably worth mentioning that I've invited people. I probably have about 8 or 9 people who've responded now to just sort of join what we might just call a study group to sort of understand this a little bit better. But I actually said, let me go back, and rather than just start with like, how shall we change the current charter? Let's just see where we've been. And again, not that I want to, put people to sleep with all of this, but I'm just going to mention here, for example, what I did was I scanned and actually just in the last recent days, did, you know, all the proofreading and whatever. And actually now I have now available for anybody who wants to read it, probably the first time, a text version of the original 1846 charter when the city of Cambridge was actually first put together. Then over the years, you know, when people want to talk about changing charters, in fact, it was changed by special act of the legislature quite a few times between 1846 and 1891. So I actually have the amended version as of 1890, right? And the reason why that's a significant date, and again, I proofed that, scanned that, you know, produced it a readable, editable, if you want, version of that, is that it was actually in 1891 where they actually made a fundamental change in the charter. But when you actually look at the previous charters, you can see tremendous amount of commonality and how much, you know, it was really more of a lot of ways, it was a clarification of a bicameral city. We had a board of aldermen, common council. I mean, I knew about this, but now I know a lot more about it, you know? So anyway, so now I have all of that information is now available for anybody who wants to actually see where we came from. And it was actually there was a movement to change to a different kind of charter in 1911 that failed at the ballot. But in 1915, around then was when the Massachusetts legislature said, well, this is crazy stuff, where they have all these different cities and towns coming to us with all these different charters. Let's try and systematize it and create the alphabet soup. Plan A, B, C, and D were made available. So we actually ended up adopting Plan B, which was the one that actually has had a directly elected mayor as well as a city council, with some districts and whatnot, right? So again, I'm not trying to put everybody to sleep, but it wasn't until 1940 that the Plan E charter was then adopted, which was actually a modification of Plan D that included proportional representation. So that, my friends, is a relatively rapid walkthrough of sort of where we've been.
So just to clarify, sir, we had a mayor, it was working out really well, we went to Plan E and kept it mayor?
So there's a lot of different perspectives about this. And I think it's actually to understand why the voters of the, by the way, I did find out something I didn't know, brand new for me, which was that proportional representation as an election method actually predated Plan E. That was actually adopted in 1937 as an option that various cities and towns could adopt. And then within about half a year, they made an amendment or another special act of the legislature to say, but not in Boston. You know, like apparently some powerful people in Boston says, no, we don't do that. No,
we don't want those hippies coming over here.
Right. So they said not in Boston, and also not for town government. Right. But for the plans A, B, C, and D, A, B, and C, they could have done so. But a city manager form of government, which was Plan D, did not have that option. So it was actually in 1938, it was a special act of the legislature that created the Plan E option, which was really Plan D, city manager form of government, but with a city council and school committee elected at large using proportional representation. And it went to the ballot in 1938 and failed, largely because it was emphasizing the election method. But by 1940, remember, this is depression era period where taxes were becoming a real serious problem for people. And city government was basically being seen as a job machine, you know, to put people on the city, and they couldn't even balance a budget. So I spoke to people who were actually around during the campaign in 1940, and they said, and I asked straight out, what were they voting for? And they were saying, was it for proportional representation? I said, oh, no. No, what people wanted was a managed form of government because they couldn't even produce a budget. That's how bad it had become.
I think that's where some of this is all coming from. I think people forget, and part of our historical review of Central Square, you know, we discovered why all these buildings were knocked down. And people don't understand that we tax property a little bit differently. And we decided, you know, it was easier to knock a building down than to pay the taxes, and that the city wouldn't budge. I can very much envision a scenario which, with certain councilors, where we reach a certain impasse like that too, that the ideologues take over, and all of a sudden we're pinned against an impossibility or giving up your property, which I believe is the ultimate goal.
I think maybe for some, absolutely, yes.
And I worry about that because I think for those who don't think like that, they're too apathetic. They're not really engaged, and they don't really see, the chess move five moves down. They see what's in front of them. And maybe they're worried about that next reelection, and maybe they're worried about things that are more domestic for them. But this charter review right now, I believe, is born of the sort of mentality of people who have either forgotten history completely or want to go back and revisit this time where we had a legislative body that had way more control or was out of control.
I think you just pretty much nailed a good description of what I was doing in digging up these historical documents. You know, some of which I actually purchased on eBay, by the way, you know, and I have kind of a good collection of these things here, but I don't think anybody had ever actually put them up in sort of text form like I did. But I really think that reviewing charters is a good thing. But if you're going to review it just based on just the here and now without any perspective about why certain decisions were made and unmade, because if you look over the period from, you know, the 1800s, the priority certainly changed. We used to have a board of overseers of the poor, which were directly elected, and then they were appointed and whatever, because those were real high priority items now. Then we didn't have things like housing agencies, right? But that came later. And those things are now appointed and whatever. So they are effectively parts of government as well. So a lot has changed from 1800s to 1900s into 2000s. But
I don't have a problem with review. And but for everything you're saying right now is what is why I am cautious and why I'm a little bit trepidatious, because the board itself has been appointed. And so far of what I've heard, no one's interested in discovering this. No one's interested in unraveling how we got to where we are, which to me is just a very dangerous precedent to set. And also an important process is being yet again in Cambridge being launched somewhat half-assed.
I'm always concerned that it may work out that way. I'm also cautiously optimistic that, you know, if you put 15, I used to say this about the programs I worked at MIT. I said, you know, there was so much care given to like choosing these particular 50 students, because if you get these 50 students in a room, these particular 50 students, because we worked so hard, that's why we have such a good program. And the truth is, if you went down to MIT and picked 50 students at random, put them in and called it a program, you'd have a good program. You know, that's just the way it is. And I think, you know, to whatever degree, if you just randomly chose 15 people to put together a charter review committee, you might actually get a good product.
You know? I agree with you. And despite my cynicism, I have a lot of more faith in the regular citizens of Cambridge than I do in the 15 to 20 people who populate the Sullivan Chamber, along with me. That, you know, seemingly wish to control the conversation or pretend as if they speak for a much larger group.
And well, in that sense, I will point out one of the concerns. Maybe it'll get worked out. I don't know. We'll see. But one of the concerns I have about this charter review group is that even though it was under the those minor amendments that were made last year to the charter that allowed for the charter review process, elected officials were strictly prohibited from being on the committee. Yet it's the city council aides of two city councilors who are very materially involved in scheduling and structuring things. We also have Kathy Bourne as the chair, but you know, I'm very worried that we actually have city councilors who are basically trying to work the strings here.
Well, so maybe this, which is what they do all the time. City councilors use their aides in ways that they're not allowed to be, you know, they themselves are not allowed to participate, and it needs to be controlled and reeled in. And maybe as a side effect of this charter review, we can include things like that, because a city council aide, which I like all you guys, you're nice people, but you shouldn't exist. Councilors do not need you. You know, they're basically being used as proxy in elections. They're being used as, in some cases, as attempted intimidators to other people and to other neighborhood groups. They insert themselves in conversations in a way the counselor can never. And it's a wholly inappropriate use of that particular position. It's like a loophole that they found and then celebrate, but because they all do it, they're all kind of reticent to amend it.
It's actually in the planning charter section 107 is the one, I believe it's 107, the one that actually makes it a felony for city councilors to sort of, you know, lean on a city department head or otherwise bypass the manager.
The felony aside, they're also not allowed to run for re-election.
That's right. It actually prohibits them from ever serving in the position again. So it was meant to be really harsh for a very good reason. So the notion that you use sort of a proxy to sort of work around it is something of concern. Now, I don't want to send off too big an alarm about this, but I'm just saying is that I would have been happier just if I knew that there was an independent, you know, either a charter commission or just a group of people, even if they were appointed by the council. But honestly, I don't even know why they were appointed by the council. I actually don't think the councilors are the appointing authority under the current charter. So I'm a little concerned about how this even came to be this way. But be that as it may, you've got a group of people, you know, I'm going to have some faith that they're actually going to do some good things. And I just feel some obligation to try and provide information for people, you know, who are on the committee and outside the committee to sort of understand where we've been, how we came to be where we are, and then take an informed decision as to what rational changes might make sense.
The cynic in me, Robert, just thinks that had Louis just said yes five more times, this wouldn't have ever come. This never would have happened.
Maybe that's true. Actually, I'm not going to disagree with you on
and
that.
There's a patriarchal nature or sort of parental nature, I'll say, to the city manager position in of itself, where the nine children are always saying, "Mother, may I?" or "Father, may I?" And you get a sense from the council that the council is shifting a lot and has shifted a lot since I got here, from what is really supposed to be an executive review board to more of an activist, almost like where they want to be legislators in and of their own right outside of their councilor duties.
The way I like to think of it is they are legislators who are consistently trying to nibble away at the executive role, which right. under the existing charter is really the role of the city manager. You hire him to do a job, but right. then you shouldn't be trying to do that job.
Yeah. Which is what they always seem to be doing more and more. And I think in a lot of ways they manipulate the public who are not as informed, suggesting that dynamic somehow constitutes a lack of democracy or a lack of access. And I will say, I promise everybody who the two people who are currently watching the show besides you and me, that you have more access to democracy today than you're ever going to have with a different setup, without a city in a different setup. I mean, a strong mayor system. And You hope for the best, and maybe you think that your activist superhero will get elected. But I got news for you: the overall population of Cambridge isn't as crazy as you think they are. They're not as radical as you think they are.
I think that's absolutely correct.
And yes. they're not going to choose your DSA superhero because most of us aren't socialists.
Right. Yes.
Hard fact.
You're right. Hard fact. By the way, there are some things, but just to amplify what you just said, one of the more positive things about the at-large system of councillors elected via proportional representation, even though I'm not so sure it's been working super well lately, is that in principle, if you had district councillors, for example, and you didn't like your district councillor and he was a schmuck, you kind of have no other options. Whereas with you have nine at-large, basically every counselor is your counselor. So right. if you can't make any headway dealing with an ideologue of one sort, you can go shop around and find counselors who are maybe more like-minded.
The problem with the shopping around, Robert, is like I've been down all the aisles of the supermarket and slim pickings.
Well, this is a general problem with elected positions all around, though. I mean, and again, not to go singling everybody out here, but there's not a lot of incentive for a lot of people to go look into being an elected official these days.
No, it gets nasty and people are just a little bit crazy. I mean, I remember some candidates a few years back, like remember that young kid who had like, he said something shitty in a chat room. It was, I think it was racist, but like he was, he had changed. He was like a teenager.
Right.
Like he basically had to go dig a hole and hide in it. And I felt really bad for him because I knew the guy and he wasn't any of those things. He just was a kid and going through.
Right. If we were all to be judged by what we said and did when we were 14, 15 and 16 years old, ain't none of us would ever be serving in any position anywhere.
Well, speak for yourself. I'm pretty much perfect.
Absolutely right.
But I would never run for city council because what's the upside? I get rocks thrown through my window. I get accused of being this, that, and the other thing. My family is subject to that too, and I love them. So I kind of feel like we've got some of those guys who do run are brave, but I kind of feel like someone like me has to exist on the outside of that, and it's very frustrating at times because a lot of the times, as you well know, we're approached and we're utilized for our specific talents and our specific specialties. And trying to help guide these people along. But a lot of them are looking for either a job promotion or a resume building device. And they're not really looking out for the best interests of the city of Cambridge.
Right. So I'll leave the whole charter question because I'm continuing to grind on here, just getting out more information, both past, present, and potential future. You know, and
can we talk about something positive?
Yes, let's talk about something positive. Okay, so we have some events coming up around town that I think are kind of worth mentioning. Right, yeah. I'm gonna state the first one, which is one thing I always get a kick out of because it's kind of corny and kind of fun, is the Feast of Cosmos and Damian that they actually do it down and around Warren Street in East Cambridge, which is coming up this Friday, September 9th through Sunday, September 11th. You know, and you know, it's like, you know, it's really like an arcade with kids. They have schmaltzy stuff, Chubby Checker, you know, a performing artist from the 1950s is going to be one of the featured players there. And it's just, it's sort of fun. I just get a kick out of that.
It's pretty much the most East Cambridge thing that could ever happen to you.
It is.
I highly recommend it.
And actually, Sal DiDomenico's family were very, very close, have been closely involved with this. His father before him, but his father passed away during the COVID period. And now, but Sal and I think his family are still very intrinsically involved in it all. Another one coming up, there's actually quite a few. There's the Cambridge Carnival.
Yep.
Is actually Sunday, September 11th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's a parade that commences down around Blackstone Avenue and River, works its way up through Central Square very slowly, and makes its way to University Park.
There's also a little side event in Jill Brown Rome Park tomorrow that's like a taste of Carnival. So like a little exhibition of Carnival that's happening as well.
That sounds great. There's the Danahy Park Family Day, which I actually go to that most years for at least a little while, is actually coming up Saturday, September 17th. I used to go there only because the city manager would serve up hot dogs, but apparently they're not doing that this year. And we're almost out of time here now.
That's worthy of charter review right there.
Right. But dance party in Central Square, September 18th. Right.
This celebrates the dance complex 30th anniversary, by the way.
All right. Anyway, on that note, I'm afraid we must leave, but we'll be back again someday on Cambridge Inside Out.
Bye-bye.